In him was life, and that light was the light of men. Those who dwelt in darkness have seen a great light. The word of God is life. The word of God brings light. Experience the wisdom, presence, and the power of Jesus Christ through the ministry of his servant, Jonathan Lagan. Welcome to Pneumatech.
The hand of God is strong upon his people. Is strong upon his people. Is strong in this place. Open up your mouth and sing, Lord, be to God. Glory be to God.
Give you praise, and we thank you for your mighty presence. We thank you for this Women of Valor conference and the grand finale, which is tonight. Father, let your people be empowered. May no one leave this place the same. Visit your people, and by your mercies, deliver them, empower them, heal them. Give them the desires of their heart. Cause them to experience you in a mighty way. Translate them to higher dimensions of glory. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Please be seated briefly. I welcome every one of us this evening to the grand finale of the Women of Valor Conference. The Lord has been faithful to us since Friday, and tonight is the last night where he said to visit us. Amen and amen. At this point, whether the agbada I'm wearing is well adjusted or not, just forget it. We are here for business now. Amen. I'd like your heart to be open to receive. I also pray that the men that are amongst us will not say this is a women's conference, so there's nothing for me. No. I pray that your heart will truly connect to receive from the Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ. And we speak blessings to those who are connecting to us online. And we want to apologize because at the beginning of the service, we're not able to go live on the internet because of the poor network coverage in this place. But we thank God for his mercies because we are back now. Amen. And we also experiencing some technical glitches, but it is over in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I want to also salute, okay, I saw Dickness Vicky, it's like she has gone. She was our guest music minister on Friday. Let's give her a big God bless you. She was here, but I think she has gone for a function. Amen. And I want to salute all the pastors and men and women of God that are here. Evangelist Ella, thank you for being here. God bless you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. That woman that is going, I will have a word for her. In fact, the two of them. If they are interested, they can wait behind. If not, they can go. Amen. I want to speak briefly and then we'll pray. Tonight is going to be a night of impartations, but it's also a prophetic night. Amen. The spirit of revelation and prophecy is in this place. And it's also a night for miracles. Do you hear what I said? It's a night for miracles. Amen. When we stand and I begin to minister, please remind me, there's somebody here with a name, Rita. Now, it's not the worker we have. Mm-mm, not that one. There's somebody with a name Rita, and you have, I don't know if it's a friend who is like a sister to you, who is called Deborah. Either it's like a friend who is a sister, because you people are contemporaries. When I start ministering, please, whoever that person is, they should come. I want to talk to that individual. Amen. But let's try to get to the word, and then we'll rise up to pray. Amen. The spirit of Deborah. That's what I will talk about, and then we'll pray. The theme of this conference is women on the front lines. The front line is perhaps the hottest part of a battle, or the part of a battle where the real action is. On the war front, this is the place where they keep the strongest among the army formation. They don't put weak people. They put the best of the best there. And you winning on the front line determines by far if you will win that battle. The front line also means a very influential position within a particular space. So when we talk about women on the front lines, we're talking about women that God is exalting into places of leadership and influence. Women that God will cause to rise courageously and champion his purposes in their generation. Women that will lead a generation of people to their desired place of destiny, even while men are around. Women that will play a major role. Women that are stakeholders, key stakeholders, as far as the move of God, the advancement of the kingdom of God is concerned. Amen. And that's why we are here tonight. These are not women that are timid. These are not women that are shy. These are not women struggling with low self-esteem. No, you don't have time to struggle with those things at the season of manifestation. There are things God can bear with for a while, but when it is time to manifest, God expects you should have matured beyond some things and stand and represent him, represent your family, represent your nation, represent your generation. There are times in life where you need to be courageous, where you need to be brave. These are moments in destiny where you are not afforded mistakes. These are not moments of training. These are moments of manifestation. Are you hearing what I'm saying? These are moments where God begins to move with speed in your life. He begins to hasten many things. And all of a sudden you find yourself in positions that you think you are not matured for. Listen, let me tell you. Anywhere you are in this life, so long as you didn't lobby for it, God knew that you were matured for it. So it's either you were matured and he placed you there, or you will mature. Your potentials will mature while you are in it. You know those days when they buy shoes, especially children that came from families and backgrounds that were not very privileged, not very blessed financially. When they buy you a shoe on Christmas Day, they'll buy you the shoe that is bigger than your leg, so that for the next 3 years, there's no buying of shoe. You grow into it. Is that true? There are some of you that after this conference, God is going to exalt you into positions. He will do it so fast, there will be no time for explanations. And God, by his grace and wisdom, will cause you to grow into it. Listen, those positions can be marriages. Some of you young ladies, you are about to get married. Yes. Because what God wants to do in your life, it will require that you are married and married early. Meanwhile, there are those that what God wants to do with you requires a lot of training and understanding. So God may delay the marriage. That is when a delay becomes the signature of God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's all about understanding God's purpose for your life, God's dealings with your life, and where he's taking you to. And that's one of the things that you must receive in this meeting. That in this meeting you will encounter God in a way that you begin to know what God has designed concerning your destiny, and move with precision, with understanding, with accuracy, and with the speed required for your destiny. Are you hearing what I'm saying? When Noah built the ark, God asked him to bring all the animals into the ark. Two out of every animal. There were lions there. There were tortoises. There were snails. There were cheetahs. But all of them entered the ark before the ark was shut. You know what that means? Whether we are fast or slow, by the help of God, we will all arrive at the place of destiny. You say amen like you understand what I just said. So for some of you who think that you are slow, and you listen, the dealings of God, I want you as women, I want you not to be biopic when it comes to the purpose and the destiny of God for your life. When we talk about the workings of God in your life, don't just, you know, narrow it down to only finances alone. No, your spiritual life, your relationship with God, which gives birth to everything that God is doing. The Bible says, they that do know their God shall be strong and do exploit. Whatever it is you'll be able to do for God is because you are empowered by God. And the reason why you can be empowered by God is because you know God. So look at it from a holistic perspective, spiritually, financially, academically, socially, governmentally, family-wise, all round. And I believe that in this program and after this program, many destinies will be birthed. In the name of Jesus Christ. So let's get to the word quickly. The spirit of Deborah. Judges chapter 5 verse 6 to 8. Judges chapter 5 verse 6 to 8. It says, in the days of Shamgar, son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the highways were deserted and the travelers walked along the byways. Village life ceased. It ceased in Israel until Deborah arose a mother in Israel, not just a woman, arose a mother in Israel. He said they chose new gods. Then there was war in the gates. Not a shield or spear was seen among 40,000 in Israel. Do you know what this scripture means? Verse 8. It means that when Deborah arose, Deborah rose at a time of captivity. There was a king called Jabin. He was the king of Canaan. Jabin enslaved, he captured Israel and enslaved them for 20 years. The reason why he was able to enslave them was that he had a strong army. In fact, the Bible says he had 900 chariots of iron. Now, that's like saying somebody that has missiles, nuclear weapons of now. So he had a lot of weapons, and because of that, he enslaved the children of Israel for 20 years. No man could rise up and challenge his authority or challenge the captivity. And then after 20 years, God answered the prayer or the cry of the children of Israel by raising a woman. At a time when they were used to men fighting for them, it was a woman that arose. Imagine rising in a time when all the odds are stuck against you. You are talking about a king that had weapons of iron. He had weapons of war. He enslaved them for 20 years that no man, there were other judges that had risen before now, and all of them were men. But there was something about this king and the captivity he brought that men lost courage. Men became fearful. And at a time when no man could lift their head, it was a woman that God found. May God find a woman amongst us tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the midst of the political confusion and the chaos surrounding nations, especially our country, we've seen so much that the men can do. The men have tried. But we seem not to have the solutions we need. Maybe it is time for women to come on the scene. Perhaps the people we have relegated so much are the ones that God may just bring the solution through. She said, until I, Deborah, arose. And that verse 8 said, because she arose, there was something about the spirit of Deborah. She restored courage to Israel. Such that the Bible says that there was war. They began to stand up and challenge the enemy. He said, even when there were no shield or spear, even though they had no weapons, But their morale was boosted because a woman arose. I pray for somebody here that the woman, you know, I taught you yesterday, I said women, God created them as systems of help and support. I pray for somebody here, whether you are a man or a woman, that God will send that woman that is a system of help and support to your life. In the name of Jesus Christ. Women are great helpers, great supporters, great partners. I'm telling you the truth. They signify a lot of good things. In fact, if you begin a ministry as a man, or even as a woman, but as a man most times, and you see women at the beginning, more women than men, begin to thank your God, it's a sign of multiplication and growth. Very soon the men will come. When we started our ministry, that was what I saw. There were a lot of women more than the men. I said, we are in trouble here. I hope they are not coming because they want me to marry them. How many are going to marry? So when I spoke to one of my mentors one time, I'm confused. Why is it only women, women, women? Very few men. He said, that's a sign of increase and multiplication. He said, if you see that sign at the beginning of ministry, thank God, because you will grow. You will multiply. And I think God has proven his word. Amen. That also entails for business, though. But it depends on the kind of woman you see. I pray that you will see a woman that carries the spirit of Deborah. Amen. Give us message translation of those three verses. Message translation from verse 6 to 8. Okay, let's go to verse 7. Let's start from verse 6 again. It says, in the time of Shamgar, son of Anath, and in the time of Jael, Jael is a woman, public roads were abandoned. Travelers went by back roads. It says, warriors became fat and sloppy. No fight left in them. Then you, Deborah, rose up. You got up a mother in Israel. And then you can read the rest when you get home. The spirit of Deborah. Deborah rose up as a leader in her time. Deborah represents courage, valor, bravery, and that's the kind of woman that God wants to empower in this place today. Who was Deborah? I'll pick about four things that Deborah was, because I was talking about the spirit of Deborah. And these four things, I believe that there will be an impartation of each of them in our lives in the name of Jesus. Number one, Deborah was a prophetess. Judges chapter 4, verse 4 to 5. Deborah was a prophetess. The Bible says, now Deborah, a prophetess. The first description of this woman that God used to bring salvation to Israel. The Bible says she was a prophetess. Anyone that is a prophet, anyone that works in the prophetic office or carries a prophetic spirit, when we say prophet now, it must not be somebody who is called to that office alone. You can carry a prophetic spirit. You can carry a prophetic anointing. You can work with a prophetic atmosphere. Anyone that is connected to that. Here are some of the things you will need to know about the prophetic. Number one, the prophetic is responsible for calling people back to God. Pointing people back to God. I believe that one of the reasons why they were brought into captivity was because they sinned against God. They went astray. That's the story in Judges. Anytime the children of Israel sinned against God, they went astray. And God would deliver them to their enemies. And when they were subdued to horror and torture and pain and oppression, they would cry to God and remember the God of their fathers. And then God would come and rescue them. That was the cycle all through the book of Judges. So apparently, they had sinned against God again and God had delivered them to Jabin, the king of Canaan. So the first thing that needed to happen was not that God will bring deliverance first, but that they will be pointed back to the God that they abandoned. Listen, let me tell you the truth. The Bible says in Isaiah 59 and verse 1, it says that the ears of the Lord are not deaf to hear you. His hands are not short to deliver you. It says, but your sin and your iniquity has separated you from him. One of the signs, or one of the reasons why things can go down unquestionably in the life of a man, one of the reasons behind negative happenings in the life of a man, one of the reasons, one of the major reasons, is the presence of sin. When people begin to submit to sin, iniquity, when people begin to deviate from their walk with God and begin to take pleasure in the things of the flesh, in the things of the world, God is no longer present in their life. Because you see, God, my brothers and sisters, God is the one that holds your life together. Are you hearing what I'm saying? God preserves everything he blesses. The Bible says the blessings of God make it rich and he added no sorrow. The reason why you are alive today, the reason why you are active and you are on your way to destiny, the reason for the balance around your life is because of the wisdom of the mercies of God around you. The psalmist says, if it were not for the Lord who was on our side. But when people begin to play with God, when people begin to deviate from the paths of God, when people begin to take God on seriously, when people become casual about the things of God, it's not like God is punishing them, but because there is no more covenant connection between you and God, you have removed his hand, you have taken his hand off your life and everything around your life. And so the infrastructure of your life has lost balance. The Bible says in Psalms 11 verse 3, if the foundation be destroyed. So if God is your foundation, and then you begin to play games with God, sometimes not necessarily sin, but sometimes when you take your walk with God not serious any longer, especially for some people when God blesses them a little bit and they give themselves to comfort and they change their priorities. They begin to prioritize other things than God. Their phones more than time in prayer. Have you seen people like that? When they get to the place of prayer, they are with their phone and still praying with their phone and still praying. When anything can take your attention and take God's place in your life, that thing is already threatening the balance of your life, because God is, you have driven him away and you will now realize that God is the one that holds the balance of your life. I tell you the truth, many worse things would have happened to some of us if we were not the mercy of God around. Many worse things would have happened. So the operation of the prophetic is to point people back to God first. The prophetic is also jealous about the things of God. It's also jealous about what bothers God. If you meet a woman or a man that carries a prophetic spirit or is a prophet, in fact, we call them, you know, we'll always call them spiritoko. It's like almost all the time they are spiritual. It's because they have a heart, an unusual passion for God. They are jealous about what bothers God. And because of that, they seek to enthrone God as Lord, not only over their life, but over everybody around them. They will have a problem with you when you don't pray, when you don't call upon God. They will have a problem with you when you are living in their house and you don't go to church. There's something about jealousy, the jealousy of God in their heart. And it's only a prophetic generation that God can use. Are you hearing what I'm saying? When you see God lifts a person or a generation at a season, that person or that generation has become prophetic, because God has lifted them at that time in that season to manifest his purposes. The prophetic is also responsible for rebuking sin and iniquity. That's true. No matter how much they laugh with you, just do anything that is wrong, they will shout. And listen, if we must love God well enough to be used by God, we must hate sin and iniquity. He said, thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Some people love righteousness but don't hate wickedness. You must love God, love righteousness and hate sin. You heard one of our panelists yesterday, one of our sisters, the doctor. She took her stand against abortion. Do you know how much you can make for abortion? That's the level of love you must have for God. Uncompromising love. Many of us, God is not taking us seriously. Regardless of the fact that you have a great destiny. And it's not because God doesn't love you. But it's because you are not as jealous for God or as zealous for God as God is for you. Remember the story of Phinehas, the grandson of Aaron. At a time when the children of Israel misbehaved and God was angry with them, God was going to punish them, and they all gathered in front of the tabernacle, pleading with God and praying and asking for mercy. In that solemn atmosphere where they were fighting for their life, one young man carried a lady, and the lady was not an Israeli, a woman from another nation. and strode into his tent. Say, when I finish a prayer, Amona, tell me. He was going for another worship session. The Bible says Phinehas stood up and took a spear and entered that tent and pinned the two of them to the ground. You would think that God would be angry. God say, Kai, I've seen somebody that's just... He forgot about the prayer they were praying. He said, I like this guy. In fact, tell him that he will be a priest before me, him and his children and all the generations after him. There's a way you can be zealous with God. Eh? People may think you are crazy. But when God sees how passionate and zealous you are with him, listen, let me tell you. In Christ Jesus, by nature, we are all equal. But when it comes to grace and callings, we are not all equal, my brothers and sisters. It's not everybody that God crossed with the same grace and anointing. Are you hearing me? There are people that can be in a place where Boko Haram is attacking. God will stir up somebody to pray for their deliverance. There are others that will be in a place and God will appear there himself. There are some that will be there, and because they are there, the attack will not even work. It's not partiality. God is simply demonstrating zeal. God said, he that honors me, I will honor. When you honor God with your life, with your prayers, with your worship, with your service, with your time, God cannot use you if you don't spend time with him. Let me tell you the truth. If you admire anybody used by God, what you are seeing is the sacrifice of time. He stayed with God when other people were doing other things, when he could do other things with his time. God will not be foolish to equate that man with other persons. No. If God should bless all of us equally, what then will be the reward for obedience? Some of you that God has deliberately, perpetually delayed your marriage while your mates are getting married. Not because there's nothing wrong with you, but God is simply delaying it because there is a divine purpose on your life. And God wants that to get to a point first before he sends you to what you need. You think that when you get married, God will give you children like your friends? No, ma. Or you get married and then you stay for years without getting children. Others are giving birth. And it's time for God to remember you. You think you just... Remember what happened to Hannah. Samuel was a whole nation in one. Samuel was not just a prophet. Samuel was a prophet with authority. In Jeremiah chapter 15, Jeremiah was interceding for the nation of Israel. As a prophet, God told Jeremiah, say, see, even if Moses and Samuel, my servants, cried to me, I will not answer them for these people. I say, wait, God, it was a prophet that was praying to you. God was simply saying they are prophets and they are... So you must be jealous for the things of God. You must hate sin and iniquity. A prophetic individual that God raises, we're talking about the spirit of Deborah, is also one that is given to a lot of consecration and separation. Because before God uses you, he will separate you. He separates you by calling you. He told Jeremiah, before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you. I sanctified and ordained you as a prophet to nations. That calling separated Jeremiah. God must separate you before he uses you. And when God separates you, he will plunge you into what I call a life of consecration. Consecration is the proof that you are set apart for God. When God has set you apart to do something for him in society, in politics, in government, in health, in the church, in the family, when God separates you onto a unique purpose, there will be consecrations that will have to guide that your calling. Consecration is a manner of life that shows you are separated by God for a divine purpose. You will not be free to do everything anyhow. I'm sorry, but it's the truth. I'm not saying God will not allow you to drink ice cream. You can drink ice cream, okay? But consecration is God's mark on your life. There are things you cannot do because of the destiny that is in you. There are places you can't go because of what you are carrying inside of you. There are friends you are not permitted to have because of what is on your life. Some of you, because what you see, some of you, God is raising you to champion his cause over nations. You can't afford to have non-entities as your friends. Your own consecration is that you must have wise people. That's why God is breaking all those relationships and you are crying over. You see, when God wants something to die, stop trying to resurrect it.
Jonathan would have been wise enough to know that David was where God was going. Saul was where God had left. David was the spirit. Saul was the flesh. But because he was living for today, because he was living for security, just like there are some women who marry not for purpose, but because of money. When you marry because of money and not because of purpose, you may get the money and cry in a Lamborghini. I hope you know what I'm saying. You don't live for where you are now. You live for where you are going to. The Bible says, true desire, a man, having separated himself, seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. Consecration is that mark. That some of you, you can't afford to have gossipers around your life. Because God wants to entrust secrets in your life. God wants to connect you with great people. And listen, let me tell you the truth. I have a few of them that God has given me access to. If you talk too much, you will lose your access with great people. That is the truth. Big people look for, I'm talking about billionaires, maybe in the financial world, or highly placed individuals. They look for secretive people, confidential people. And now you are surrounded with a cloud, not a cloud of witness, a cloud of gossipers. I divorce every wrong relationship from your life. Even the one that you are fighting to keep, I break it this night forever. May God cause a quarrel. The Bible says in Judges chapter 9, after 3 years, God sent a spirit of ill will between Abimelech and the people. Me and God together this night, will cause a quarrel in that relationship that will never be solved. So that you can move to the next level. Some of you have friends that family altars are fighting, and their presence in their life is importing demons to disturb what God wants to do. You don't know spirits work with atmosphere. You just allow everybody into your space because everybody's wearing glass and wearing wig. Don't invite friends into your life that will import demons you don't know. You start fighting battles you don't know. It's the truth. The atmosphere around your life is determined first by your interaction with the spiritual. Then number two, by your interaction with the friends around you. He that walketh with the wise shall be wise. You know why they call it wisdom? Wisdom means the domain of the wise. The dwelling of the wise. He said there is oil and great treasure in the dwelling of the wise. My mentor will usually say that if you have 5 friends who are foolish, you didn't count well. You are the 6th one. There are 6. Consecrations. Some of you, God will consecrate you to the place of prayer. You start praying unusually. Yes. God will start waking you up to pray when others are sleeping. Sometimes the consecrations may become too demanding on you. Don't think about now. Think about where you are going to. Some of you, 1, 2, 3 months before your wedding, God tells you to go and fast. Say, God, if I fast, I will slim down. The wedding gown will not size me. Choose between wedding gown and the destiny of your children. Maybe there's a demon about to attack your first son that you will give birth to with autism. And God is saying, is this fast that will break that demon of autism? Maybe there's a prophet that is about to come through your womb. The devil has picked it. He couldn't stop the wedding, so he has arranged to make sure you don't give birth. Me that is talking to you, can I tell you the truth? The gap between me and the person that I'm following is 6 years. 6 years. My mother made a casual statement. Say, because the person ahead of me was always falling sick when they gave birth to us an infant. She said, if Naso Peking go, they sick. I don't want children again. Out of her pain, women see, your maturity is when you learn to control your emotions. Not everything is to be said out. Listen, you will not die if you don't say everything out. There are some things you should say in the presence of God. Don't say it outside. And that word sealed 6 years. Even when she wanted a child, children were not coming. I guess the devil peeped and saw me and said, we'll go hold them all. But somehow by the help of God, I came, right? Time will fail me to give you the kind of attacks I've gone through. Do you know I've gone mad before. I've lost my sanity. Deaf and dumb, right? Was it? Mute? What was the issue, Seth? I think deaf, dumb, 5 years. This me that is talking now. That's the reason why this night we must arrest some devils before we go.
So God will keep you on a path of consecration. Some Judges chapter 13, the Bible spoke about Samson. He had a consecration that kept his anointing. Do you know that consecration is the foundation and power of your destiny? Consecration is the power of your anointing, the power of your call, is what keeps you anointed. The grace that is on your life for favor. Do you know the things you are doing led by the Spirit of God that has kept the favor? You stop doing those things, you lose those graces on your life. God gave prescriptions for Samson. He shall not drink wine. He shall not do this one. All of those things, he broke all and slept with a prostitute and lost the anointing. Guess what? The anointing only returned back when he started keeping them. How do I know? The Bible says he shall not shave his hair. When he was captured, they shaved his hair. While he was in the dungeon, underground, grinding, nobody cared about him. Nobody cared about Samson. They forgot about him. While he was there, his hair started growing again. Number two, the Bible says he shall not drink strong drink. He shall not drink wine. It was because he was on the lap of Delilah. That's why he was drinking wine. Now that he was a prisoner, grinding, whatever. Wine was not a pleasure he could afford as a prisoner. So he stayed that period, though he was suffering, but away from wine. You see that the reason why God answered his prayer again was because while he was in captivity, he started keeping the consecrations again. Anything that God used to do in your life that has ceased, go and find out what you were doing before. Some of you, the favor in your life is because your mother used to feed pastors. Now you have come and you are eating alone to die alone. That's why your children are now stubborn. You say, but I was not like this. Go and find out the consecration. Favor, 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 favor. Oh, great. Maybe it's because you are submitting to somebody or because you are honoring somebody. Do you know honor is one of the cheapest ways to get favor? Why would Isaac need a meal to bless his son? What is it about food and blessing? On my own, the blessing will not come out, but I need you to do something to provoke me. Do something that shows me I'm valuable. Do something that shows me I'm exalted. Sometimes honor for your husband can open your doors of favor. All of these things are consecrations. And it's very important that you keep these things. So number one, Deborah was a prophetess. Number two, and of course, as a prophet, God sends you to declare his purposes over people. Declare his counsel. I see that prophetic grace resting on somebody this evening. Amen. Number two, Deborah was a wife. Judges chapter 4 verse 4. The Bible says she was a prophetess and the wife of Lapidot. That means that she was an ordinary woman that had been prospering in her wifely or womanly duties. She was an ordinary woman that God raised. Before God will assign to her the great destiny of midwifing a nation, she was doing well as a wife. She was doing well as a woman. Deborah didn't fall from the sky. No, she was an ordinary woman that God picked. That's why the Bible says she was the wife of somebody. She was not a strange woman who just came from nowhere. No, most times we feel that when God used people, they have to be strange or superhuman. No, ma. No, sir. Every great man and woman that God uses, they are ordinary people. Ordinary people that have been doing well in the little things God gave them to do. Jesus said, he that is faithful in little is faithful in much. Have you prospered in keeping the family that God gave to you? The relationship that God gave you? Sometimes, well, maybe because you didn't pray. Many of us young ladies don't even pray before going into a relationship. We're going to it for the fun of it. Many of us, our relational life is filled with assumptions. We are clueless about it. There is nothing divine connecting your relationship with the opposite sex and your purpose and destiny. Yet, when it's time for your calling and other things, you pray to God. Listen, if God is not Lord over all, he's not Lord at all. God cannot give you a destiny and then you now choose the partner that will follow you to that destiny. No, that's foolishness. It's like collecting a car from a car stand and then choosing to put water inside the tank to drive the car. So she succeeded as a wife.
God will always check how faithful you have been in little things before he entrusts you with big things. How faithful you are with your job, with your career, with your family, with your husband, with your spiritual life. That little thing you are despising that is in your hand. How faithful have you been with it? How faithful have you been with your commitment to the house of God? Your service in God's house. You think God will just abandon you as an usher at the door? No. God will not explain to us his training processes. I'm telling you. God will never explain it to you. But before God will use you for an unusual and a great destiny, he would have tried your faithfulness in little things. Remember Matthew chapter 25, the parable of the talent. The man that had 5 talents, multiply it. He said, you have been faithful in little things. He said, now I will entrust you with greater things. And so this is a call for us to return back and be faithful with what God has given to you. Some of you need to be faithful with the place of intercession and prayer. Some of you, there are people God has placed in your mind to be praying for. Some of you, there are families that God, some of you, even your family, God has raised, God has told you that you are the intercessor of this family. Stop hating them and start praying. But once a small gossip comes out from any one of them about you, hey, you are running around to defend yourself. Return back and pray for them. Pray for their salvation. That's how they will change. Many of us are quarreling people that we should be praying for. Listen, let me tell you, the heart of man is not given to any man. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You don't have access or influence to the heart of any man. And so the only way you can influence a man is by the Spirit of God. God said, I, the Lord, searcheth the heart. So the best way to influence a person is to pray for them. Advice is good, but if it's without prayer, it's just empty talk. It will enter one ear and go out through the other ear. So you must be faithful with the little natural things that God has given to you. Especially as a wife. Proverbs 18 verse 22 says, he that finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor. That means that that woman that you have found must remain a good thing. Oh. Not the one that will use fingernails and scratch your face. Then when your friends see you again, you say, no, it's tribal mark. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Not the one that out of anger will break your phone. I know a pastor's wife, she said it herself. That in their marriage, she had anger issues. A prayerful woman with fasting. Great prophetess, but she had anger issues. And her own anger, once she's angry, like I heard her say it with her mouth years ago, that her body will start vibrating. You know those kind of people? Like earthquake wants to happen, their body will start vibrating. And she starts breaking anything that is there. So on her own, if she's in the kitchen, she's angry, she'll just start breaking plates. Bam! Bam! Then the husband will hide in the room and say, oh God. And I'm talking by the grace of God, one of the voices God is using in Nigeria now. I won't mention the name. She said it herself. I didn't hear say it and say, for the 7 years into their marriage, she was the man of the house. She was the one that found the husband who was a good thing. This your anger issues, you better work on it. I'm telling you, better work on it. Don't rush the marriage. Now you want it. You people are going, you have bought your things for introduction. Go and introduce yourself in the place of retreat first. If not that anger. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Proverbs 19 verse 14 says that houses and riches are from parents, but a prudent wife, an understanding wife. You think that her husband, Deborah's husband, would have allowed her to do what she was doing? It was because she had fulfilled her duties as a woman. If the Bible says the wife of Lapidot, it meant that they had studied her life. That even as a wife, as a mother, she was doing well. God will not pick mediocres. Many people assume for God, they do badly in the little things God gives them. They perform bad, they misrepresent God in their homes. Amongst their friends, and they think God will just cover that with the blood of Jesus and use you. Now, lie, you go dead here. You keep praying. The Bible says in Proverbs 14, verse 1, that a wise woman builds a house, but a foolish woman tears it down with her own hands. And remember that the Bible says that through wisdom a house is built. Now, a wise woman builds a house. I believe that the success of every home to a large extent depends on the woman. Men have their role, but women are very pivotal. And God will try you to succeed in that first before he entrusts you with the destiny of nations. There was another prophetess in the Bible called Huldah in 2 Chronicles 34 verse 22. The Bible says she was the wife of the person that was in charge of the king's wardrobe, the king's fashion designer. You think that God will raise a prophetess for a nation at that time from somebody of that status, an average citizen? She did well as a wife. That your marriage may be a preparation for greater things God will give to you. So learn to manage your home, manage your husband, manage your children. Because the way you manage them is the way you manage thousands of men that God will bring under you. That's the reason why I told you last year, I thought about submission. And I said, I showed you from scripture. I'm abuse in homes. I'm against women being maltreated by their husband. I believe that husbands have their role. Maybe after this meeting, if they gather and set a conference for men next year, we'll tell them their own. But you are here for women now. However, any woman that does not learn submission and practice it very well, there'll be a limit to how much God can use you. Let me tell you the truth. Listen to me. I respect women preachers. But one of the things I will do before I open my heart to listen to you is I will check your submission to the divinely constituted authority around your life. Your husband, your pastor, your mentor. I don't care if you can talk. Listen, my sisters, some of you watch them on TikTok. Some of you, and some of you think that charisma is a sign that somebody is anointed. There are some women preachers, they are very charismatic. They can speak. They are eloquent. They can charge people. But if I see that there's something wrong with your submission, I'm not listening to you. Forget it. It's one thing to talk on stage. It's another thing to live the life that befits us on stage. Of course, if the man is acting funny, then we need to do something about him. And I said it last day. I said, once the band don't throw one slap, please come quickly. Come quickly, I'm telling you. Especially if you are a good woman. I'm not saying it's you that used to provoke the slap. Oh. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's why those of you who are lawyers and are women and into gender violence or whatever, please hear two sides of the story. Don't go and lock an innocent man up. I'm a pastor, I counsel people. I've heard of stories that it's the woman that threw the first slap or punch. Are you hearing me? You've not seen those kind of women. You know that kind of slap. May you not, men, I pray for you, you will not be a victim of that. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If you are a man and they are doing it to you, come and report to me too. I will personally catch her and lock her up. That cell will be a retreat for her. Are you hearing me? Mosquitoes will minister to her like angels minister to the devil. When she comes out, I'm telling you, she'll be the wife that is from the Lord. I hate abuse. I hate it. And any son and daughter of mine that is married and experience abuse, I will defend them. I will stand for them. I'm telling you the truth. Even if they are at fault, we'll settle the fault later. I'll flog them later. But you can't abuse a son or daughter. I'm telling you the truth. You go no. Say kaki no be leather. Are you hearing me? And so the women here say, yeah, you better be careful with your husband, because if you do anything, amen. You know that song that says, he's coming back again, my Lord. You'll be waiting for his coming somewhere. God help us in Jesus' name. Read Ephesians 5, 22 to 24 when you go home. It speaks about the submission structure of every woman. That the woman must submit in all things to her husband. Not because it's a gender. God is not gender sensitive. No. God is purpose driven. God didn't say submit to a man that loves you or buys you ice cream. Or a man that loads your account with 500,000 every month. In fact, in my opinion, it is dehumanizing. It is an abuse for a woman to be given in marriage or to marry because of money. No matter how you try to sugarcoat it. That's why tomorrow I want to talk to you about financial empowerment. So that you are not like a cargo. You have nothing. You are rushing to marry. When you become married, the man will just see you like one of his properties. Do something for yourself. Be efficient. There's nothing wrong in that. Don't get married to a man because of his money. Don't allow your family to sell you. You know, their family is too like that. Hiding under the guise of culture and tradition. Yes, their family is too like that. There are some fathers who have failed in their responsibility to take care of their children. Or they are tired. At best, they sent her to the university. Husband, come and marry and continue from where I stop. And you know the way Africa is. An average man, when you marry, you now have two families. Your own and... No, sir. No. No. Let's not allow... and I submit both to our parents and to my generation. If we don't reevaluate culture, we will be dying in bondage. We claim we are Christians, but we are not practicing the transformative principle of scripture. We are Christians, when it's time for marriage, you make the couple go through everything that tradition says. They will even make you buy hot drink. You just became a deacon last week. They say you must buy hot. It's not for us, so it's for the elders. Sir, walk away. God has many daughters. I'm the one telling you. And men, be wise too. You know, this kind of investment thing we are doing, you just get into a relationship with a lady, you start sponsoring and spending, don't be a fool. Listen, every woman, and I say this because they know that I love them, they know, many of them, here, God has used me to impact their life with all humility. So, this one is not because I hate anybody. If you are a lady here, or if you are a young man here, any lady that you will marry, till you marry her, she is her father's responsibility. There's nothing like, sir, I don't know where we got it. Show me from the Bible. Where did we get it that once you are in a relationship, you start paying salary. And young men are now having high blood pressure. They are becoming slim. Do you notice when the women were doing Thanksgiving, the men were just standing like this. I was asking Pastor Dave and Pastor Moses, I said, why don't I start like... Then we jokingly said, he said, now us, that gift, he said, now us the tax give you. You hardly see men smiling except when they are together. Why? What kind of bondage? All these young men, I'm warning you. Don't say I didn't warn you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Anything you do for her is as a sister in Christ, is charity. If you don't have no salary, anytime you have, give. And when she asks you 3 times in 1 month, sit her down and teach her or play my message on finances for her. The Bible says, he that findeth a wife, not he that findeth a car. It's only a car that you keep spending on that doesn't give you anything until you make it Uber. Women, don't dehumanize or don't reduce. You are not a cargo. Be efficient. You too can walk. You too can do business. You may not have enough, but at least you have something. That's why they don't respect us. Broke in your hand, broke in your brain. Spiritually, you are broke. And right now, some ladies, all they have to offer is their looks. Men are no longer fools. They are not marrying for looks again. Listen, they used to marry for looks then in the time of our parents when $1 was 1 naira. Now $1 is 1.5. Men have become wise. And if you are a man and you are not still wise, it's your village people that are pressing. May that remote be destroyed. Are we ready to pray? Please take my advice. I'm telling you the truth. There are things I don't know where we get them from. Listen to me. I practice principles that are scriptural. If it is not in the Bible, forget it. Forget it. And don't allow your... Show that you are transformed. Don't allow your family force you. You are an adult. There are things you can obey your parents in the Lord. But when they try to push you off into principles that are ungodly, and you are allowing them to push you and push your husband to be, you are setting a foundation for a marriage that will be bitter. Because he's already bitter before he married you. Where do you think the sweetness will come out from? You know, that's why many young ladies are, they don't know why they are suffering in their marriage. Check the way he married you. Go back and look at your wedding picture. You saw the way his face was, ba? Then you just imagine that the smile, the joy, the love will just come out from where? Na lie. Just the same way the men too must love their wives, women must be wise. Number three, the spirit of Deborah. Deborah was a judge. As a judge, she administered justice over Israel. She administered the will of God. The Bible says that the people came to her to settle their dispute. That means Deborah was a peace-loving individual. The Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. You must be a peaceful woman to crown your beauty. Please, all the brothers, say, if you agree with me, say yes. Do you prefer a peaceful woman? How many brothers like a troublesome woman? Even native doctors want to marry peaceful women. I'm telling you. They hustle too much. The world out there is crazy. They need somebody that is at peace. And that was the kind of person that Deborah was. She was a judge. She administered the justice system of God. When you read Isaiah 32 from verse 9 down, it spoke to women that were at ease. Society was out of order. The nation was in chaos. And he spoke to the women that were at ease to begin to mourn and to pray. And he spoke about how justice will be established and then righteousness. So Deborah was a judge. Number four, before we pray, Deborah was a mother. The Bible called her a mother in Israel. Judges chapter 4, verses 7 to 9. And verse chapter 5, verse 7 to 9. In fact, in verse 8 of chapter 5, the Bible says, she arose as a mother. As a mother, it spoke of a woman that gives birth. A mother is one who gives birth to destinies and divine purposes, not only to children. Who gives birth to systems. Who gives birth to giants. Who gives birth to seasons. As long as you are birthing something in this life, you are a mother. There are some of you who are young ladies, but you are mothers already. Maybe you are helping God to birth his purposes through the place of prayer. Maybe you are already mentoring people around you. Because listen, spiritual fatherhood and motherhood has nothing to do with age. You can be young physically and be old spiritually. You can also be old physically and old spiritually. It depends on your development. It depends on your growth. It depends on your submission and yieldedness to God. God can entrust you with the lives and destinies of people. The lives and destinies of family. And then you begin to birth them into the purpose of God. That's who a mother is. A man can carry the seed in him, but until he deposits it in a woman, and after 9 months, the woman pushes that into as a baby out, that child will never be bettered. So being a mother means you are one that God has assigned to give birth to his purposes, give birth to destinies. There is something called the spirit of travail. For you to give birth as a spiritual woman with the spirit of Deborah, you must carry what I call the spirit of travail. The Bible says in Isaiah 66 verse 7 to 8, it says, as soon as Zion travailed, she, not he, she brought forth. Before any nation can change and experience transformation, there must be a travail. That's why if you see a nation where there is chaos, where there are uprisings, war, conflict, those are the travails for the birthing of a new nation. Ask any woman that has gone to the labor room before. That's life or death. The pain of laboring and traveling. If God will use you to give birth to destinies, there is a pain you must go through. It's not going to be easy. In Revelation 12 verse 1 to 4, the Bible spoke of a woman who gave birth to the child that ruled the nations with an iron rod. That woman was figurative of Israel because the Bible says she was clothed with the sun. She had the moon and 11 stars or 12 stars. Right? Go back to that verse. She was clothed with the sun. That woman is figurative of Israel. Why? On the flag of Israel, you will see a star there. That star is the sun. It's also called the Star of David. The moon at her feet and on her head, 12 stars. Just like Jacob, the sun, his wife, the moon, because the moon received the reflection of the sun, and the 12 stars, which were the 12 sons of Jacob. So that woman there was figurative or a prophetic expression for the nation of Israel. And she gave birth. God will use you to birth destinies after today. Not only your own, but that of others. Destinies, systems, businesses that will employ people, ventures, organizations that will transform people, ideas that will change the world, ideas that will shape the history of womanhood. If God does that with you, you are a mother in Israel. You are a mother in the camp of God's people, regardless of your age. That's what it means to have the spirit of Deborah. The spirit of Deborah is also a warrior. Because I tell you the truth, there are some things you can't birth without warfare. There are some things you can't birth without a battle. The Bible says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. There are nations that before they will break forth, the strongholds of those nations must be destroyed. There are spiritual forces oppressing nations, oppressing territories, oppressing families. It will take women that God will raise to birth these nations, birth the destinies of these families. But they cannot do that until they engage warfare. Just like the woman in Revelation. There was a dragon that appeared to steal and kill the child. There are many of you that are demons, spiritual forces, coming as men, coming as culture, coming as systems, coming as oppositions, to devour the destiny God wants to give birth through you. But in this service, in the name of Jesus, those spirits and oppositions will be arrested forever. In the name of Jesus Christ. You must learn warfare. The spirit of Deborah is a warrior. There are times when you need to travel. You need to do battle for your destiny. Listen, life is full of challenges and troubles and battles. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There are many battles that we'll fight. No man comes into destiny by mistake. No man becomes influential in their generation by accident. No man is introduced by God to their generation until God has first checked and exhumed their foundation, their background. Even Jesus, in Luke chapter 3, when God spoke from heaven and said, "This is my beloved son." Spiritually, the next verse, the Bible says they began to trace the genealogy of Jesus. He was a son of this, son of that, son of this. Listen, let me tell you the truth. Before you manifest in life, there will be forces that will probe you from your background. You know why? Because one of the ways Satan can fight or oppose you is by manipulating forces of your background. Ancestral forces. He looks for character. He looks for things in your family lineage that can affect you. He comes to a family where women give birth out of wedlock. He has found a pattern that he can use to buffet your destiny. And even now, it has happened to you, and he's whispering to you that God cannot use you again. It's a lie. It's a lie. The Bible says, "I know that my Redeemer liveth, and he shall stand at last." Tonight, I will lead you to pray some prayers before I speak over your life. But I feel in my spirit that people here, that there are things covering and suppressing what God has put inside of you. Maybe you are in an environment that does not support the dreams and ideas God is giving you. Those are battles you will need to fight. Maybe there are demonic forces in your family. Maybe there are forces within your territory. Some of you are women in career places where there are only men, and all kinds of politics against you to take you out. Attacks on every side. Tonight we are going to do warfare and break through and break forth and deliver our God-ordained destinies. Some of you, the battle is with your mind. Your mind. There is a myopic mentality in you that every time you think about where God is taking you to, that mentality will tell you God cannot use people like you. I've seen people that arrived at the place of manifestation, but that mentality followed them there. They gave you the platform. They gave you everything. But then you open your mouth and a mentality betrayed you. I've seen people that opportunities of a lifetime came, but forces in their mind. One of the greatest forces a man can fight are the forces of the mind. The mind, the mind. Forces of low self-esteem or mediocrity. Forces that retard your development. That's the force that makes you watch Netflix and spend time on your phone more than your Bible, your books. Inside of you, you know God is challenging you to a great place. You have the zeal, the passion, but there's nothing here. And zeal without knowledge is a disaster waiting to happen. You must win that war tonight. The war, the battle, forces that will not allow you expand your territory, allow you to increase learning, do things beyond you that will sharpen your skill and become efficient. You must fight. I'm telling you, whatever we are doing today, as you see, whatever we are celebrated for, we have to fight. Listen, I made up my mind from the beginning of this ministry that I will not do ministry like a pastor in this town. I went and studied what was fighting and affecting pastors, and I decided this mindset will not be with me. This mindset will not be with me. This mindset. I see that pastors in this town, some of them can be very humble. You see them, especially some of our traditional churches. You see them always. And because of that, their value has dropped. People overlook them. I decided me, I will be scarce. You will need to fight forces. Do you know there are territorial forces in the minds of people that will not allow them to break forth? Some of you are here. Your place is in Cyprus, is in America, is in United Arab Emirates. But there's something within this place fighting you not to move forward. Some of you, your conservative nature is a warfare of its own. You are over conservative about everything. You feel you are not deserving of anything at all. And so even when a time for manifestation and opportunity comes, your conservative nature makes you withdraw. They are giving you something. They give you the platform. You say, no, let others do. That nature, you need to fight it. Some of us picked it up from culture. We picked it up from the family where we grew from. Nobody said anything positive, and now it's fighting us. Some of us lived under parents that were negative. They carry negative energy. Some of you suffered physical abuse even till you became teenagers. Verbal abuse. You are this, you are that. And now you are 25. Years later, that voice is still retarding. I come against those forces tonight. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Please rise on your feet. We are going to pray tonight. Please take the key up by two. I'm going to lead us to pray some powerful prayers tonight. And I sense that one of the things that the Lord will do will be deliverance. Listen, the deliverance tonight is to give you freedom to access your new you. The new nature of God in you. The destiny, that thing that God has put in you that needs to come out this season. Some of you are at a transitional phase in destiny. It is time for you to change to the next level. But we need to deal with forces that are retarding you and making you to hold back. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He had to bring them out of Egypt first before he gave them the promised land. There will be deliverances here of every kind, especially mental deliverances. As we pray, some of you will begin to have visions. Ideas will begin to fall on you like rain. Courage will be bettered in the hearts of some of you. The things you have been running away from before now, you will receive courage and bravery to dare them. Open your mouth and bless the Lord for the things you have heard tonight. Open your mouth and thank Him. Something is about to happen for you. Jehovah is your name. Jehovah is your name, mighty warrior.
matter. Jehovah is. Jehovah is your name. Say Jehovah. Open your mouth and let's worship him tonight. Jehovah is your name. You are the mighty warrior. Tonight, this is Women of Valor Conference. Hear me. We are about to pray some dangerous prayer now. We are talking about women on the front lines. Part of the spirit of Deborah is to be a warrior. You are going to show it as you begin to pray tonight. There is no great destiny without battles. And I want us to settle what God is about to do in your life tonight and obtain the victory in Christ Jesus. The Bible says, until I, Deborah, arose as a mother. Isaiah 60 verse 1 says, arise and shine. Arise, shine, for the light has come. Say after me, in the name of Jesus. By revelation. By wisdom. And by power. I arise. Even today. I arise. In a place of career. I arise in my family. I arise amongst my equals. I arise in my territory, in my nation, in my generation. I arise to the call of destiny. Open your mouth and pray in the name of Jesus. Come on, women of valor, pray. Pray. I arise, 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 I arise. Come on, please pray. Raise your voice and pray. I arise like Deborah arose as a mother in Israel. Arise to your place in, where are the women praying? I can't hear you. I can't hear you. I arise to my calling. I arise to my destiny. I arise to the purpose of God upon my life. I arise to my heritage. I arise to my divine responsibility. Come on, women, pray. Men, pray for your wives. Let this be their season of rising. In Jesus' name we pray. Say after me in the name of Jesus. Are you people praying at all? Say in the name of Jesus. I break off every limitation around my destiny, around my calling, every force that fights me from fulfilling my divine purpose. I break free now from the force of low self-esteem, from mediocrity, from mental retardation. I break free from those forces, from negative influence. Open your mouth and turn it to prayer. Break forth. Break
forth. Break free.
Break free.
Break free.
Break free.
Break
free. Name we pray.
You are going to come against satanic distractions. The Bible says that we are not ignorant of Satan's devices. Do you know, my brothers and sisters, that there are some friends that are planted by the enemy around the life of a woman of destiny? The Bible says, while men slept, the enemy sowed tares. And Jesus, interpreting that parable, he said that the wheat were the sons of the kingdom. The tares were the sons of the evil ones. So those tares were, those seeds were human beings. There are some agents of the devils, some human beings animated by Satan, planted around your life to distract you. You are going to break free from them. You are going to break free from any relationship that is a distraction. Anything that does not challenge you to pursue God and pursue your divine purpose. I want you to break free from that distraction right now. Some of you, it is distraction of the internet, social media distraction. You love God, but anytime you carry your phone, it is difficult to overcome the addiction of staying on it. Every distraction of destiny, I break free from it right now. Open your mouth and pray. Hear me. We are still praying distraction. You are going to ask God to separate you from every wrong relationship. In 2 Samuel chapter 12, the Bible spoke about the son of King David called Amnon. The Bible says he was demonized by the devil to love his sister. As if that was not enough, the Bible says now he had a friend called Jonadab who was a crafty man. That was the friend that led him to his death. Because the friend gave him a wrong advice. He slept with his sister and that led to his brother killing him. Whether that friend is in your life now or will come next year, you are going to say, Lord, by your mercy. Listen, some of those friends, when they come, you see, Satan, he has studied you. He knows how to get you. He will bring people that you will find almost no fault with. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There are pastors that have been, great pastors that have been brought down by people Satan brought around their life. Close people. Brought a woman that could do everything. She can cook, she can write letters, she can do this one. And then gradually you start depending on that person for everything. And before you know what's happening, you are spending too much time with that person. Bam! One day the person falls. Distractions. Some of us, those distractions, you will not even want to leave them. They will be too tempting, too good to be true. He will bring somebody that is very intellectual like you. That before you talk one, they say 9 and 10. In fact, you yourself, you say, this person understands me. But that's the Jonadab the devil wants to use to destroy you. You are going to pray by the mercy of God to divorce you. So that when that season comes and they come into your life and you are emotionally beclouded, God will separate. In fact, pray it right now. Say, I separate myself by the mercy of God from every wrong relationship. Every wrong relationship around my life. I separate myself. Please pray. Unproductive relationship, satanic relationship, sensual. Listen, there's somebody the Lord is showing me now. You are here and there's you are connected with somebody. There's somebody in your life who is a lesbian. Is a lesbian. I told you it's a prophetic night, right? I don't want you to come out. Maybe you can see me after the service. You have somebody in your life whom you are very close to. That person is a lesbian. God says you need to bring an end to that relationship. If you are here, please see me. You are here. Not even if you are here. Please see me after the service. Amen. I hope you know when I say I want to talk to somebody, it's not a ploy to keep people. Are you hearing me? God speaks to me. Oh, you have to break free from that relationship. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Unproductive relationships. Gossips around you. No, ma. No, sir. You are heading somewhere. The Bible says friendship with the world is enmity with God. Why do you want to be an enemy of God? Why do you want to pitch yourself against God? Why are we so affiliated to human relationships as against our divine purpose? I didn't say hate everybody, but don't bring into your close circle people that have no business with where you are going to. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you ready to pray two more prayers? Hear me. We are going, this prayer is warfare now. The Bible says when David marched on to kill Goliath, either after or before he killed Goliath, 1 Samuel 17, the Bible says Saul asked Abner, the commander of his army, he said, whose son is this? He didn't ask what is his name. He didn't even ask what is his tribe. He said, whose son? I told you that before God introduces a man to his generation, he must exhume the foundation of that man. That's why in the Bible, any great person that God rose, you will see this person, the son of this, the son of this, the son of that. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Some of you are ready to break forth, but the foundations of your father's house are fighting you. The forces that fought your parents, the patterns, that trailed their life is at work in your life again. There are spirits that buffeted your parents, your grandparents, that you must deal with this night. Yes, you are redeemed of the Lord, but you must exercise your redemptive heritage aright. Exercise your victory over them and vanquish them out of your family. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Family forces. You want to rise. Let me tell you how those forces operate. Once you begin to rise, some of you come from families where you are the only intellectual person there. You are the only reasonable person there. You are the only person that loves God. In fact, you feel more at home with outsiders than your family. You can't even discuss matters of destiny with them because everybody is just like this. Listen, I know people, I even know mentors that when you see their family, you know that this rising is divine because they are the only one. Nobody looks like them. It's not about where you are coming from. You need to look like where you are going to. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Do you know that thing fought David? God spoke because of what Judah did. God said in a law, God gave children of Israel. He said that no outsider, no outcast shall stand in the congregation of my people to the 10th generation. Hear this. Judah slept with his daughter-in-law and gave birth to Perez and Tamar. Isn't it? That was incest. Are you hearing me? Because of that, those children were more or less outsiders. And God said to the 10th generation, David was the 10th. That's the reason why you never heard of Judah again. Even though before Jacob died, he said, out of Judah will proceed a lawgiver. He said, the scepter will not depart from him. But we didn't hear anything about the scepter. We didn't hear anything about the royal tribe until David the 10th. That was why after he killed Goliath, I don't know what entered Saul. He was looking for David to kill him. Why? Because there was a spirit that had trailed him that was haunting the establishment of his divine inheritance. The first thing God told Gideon, after God called him, God said, destroy the altars of your father's house. Are you ready to pray? Say after me in the name of Jesus. I come against every force, every spirit from my bloodline, from my father's house, from my mother's house, every pattern established by hell that wants to abort my destiny, that wants to cripple my advancement, I come against you now by the power of the blood of Jesus. Open your mouth and pray. 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 Settle it with destiny. Come against those forces. Out of wedlock. That's a pattern from hell. Patterns of marital failure. Patterns of near success syndrome. Patterns where women are the ones that feed men. Patterns where women are the ones that take care of men. You will not get married and suffer. No. Come against it. Pray. Your destiny is at the mercy of your prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Numbers chapter 1 verse 5. You are going to pray for destiny helpers. Please don't pray this prayer if you are not serious about your destiny. Helpers will not come and help a person doing nothing. Helpers will not help a nobody. Helpers does not mean you just sit down in your house, cross your leg, you are not doing anything at all. Then people are just paying you money, salary into your account. No, man. No, you can pray, it will not happen until you stand up. He said, you arise, then you will shine because your light has come. Your light needs to meet you arisen. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He said, these are the names of the men who shall stand with you. The men that are appointed to stand with you. Do you know that their helpers are appointed to stand by you? Barrister spoke about it yesterday. I went to search the scripture in the night. You are going to say, Father, any helper of mine. Just like you are a helper to somebody, God created you as a helpmate. Any helper appointed to stand with me in this season of my life and destiny, I call them into my life. Open your mouth and pray for 1 minute. Pray. 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 The men appointed to stand with me, helpers of my destiny in career, in business, in academics. Where are they? Call them, call them, call them. Call them for, by the power of the Spirit, by the voice of the Spirit, they can hear your voice from miles away, from another nation. They can hear you. He said, your son shall come from afar. Your son shall come from afar, and your daughter shall be lost at your call them into your life. Help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Finally, please hold your womb, every woman, including men. Hold your womb. The womb represents the incubation of destiny. The womb also represents your children, whether biologically or spiritually. You are going to pray for your children. If you are not married, you are praying for them before you get married. If you are already married, as you hold your womb, they came from that womb, you are going to pray for them. Say after me, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
By the blood of the Lamb.
By the blood of the Lamb.
And by my decree tonight.
And by my decree tonight.
I seal the destiny of my children.
I seal the destiny of my children.
I declare that they shall know the Lord.
I declare that they shall know the Lord.
They shall serve the Lord.
They shall serve the Lord.
They shall grow strong in the Lord.
They shall grow strong in the Lord.
And they shall fulfill purpose.
And they shall fulfill purpose.
They will not die untimely death.
They will not die untimely death.
They will not be victims of the enemy.
They will not be victims of the enemy.
Open your mouth and pray in the name of Jesus. Pray for your children. Pray for your children. One more minute before we close. By the blood of the Lamb, they are preserved. Not only your children, including your destiny, including your divine assignment, including your God-ordained vision, they are preserved. They will know the Lord. They will grow in the Lord. They will prosper. They will do well. They will not fail. They will not stumble. They will not be object of mockery and shame. Pray for your children. Pray for your unborn children. Call them by their names. Call them by their names. Even if you are not married, call them prophetically by their names. You're the mighty warrior, great in battle. Jehovah is, you deserve the glory and the honor. Lift our hands in worship as we bless your holy name. You deserve the glory and the honor. Yes, you do. We lift
our hands in worship as we bless your holy name. You are great. You do me so great. There is no one else like you. No one else like you, Lord. We give you praise tonight. Hallelujah. Please, can you give me 2-3 minutes to speak over your lives before we are done? This is the final moment, and this is the moment for impartation. I told you that the spirit of Deborah is a prophetic spirit. I believe that there are people with prophetic unctions and graces, prophetic destinies that God wants to raise here. Can you lift your hands, everybody? I want to minister now. I'm going to pray, number one, for that prophetic unction to rest upon individuals here. Hear me. Those that are called into the prophetic ministry, they are the ones that God is going to single out now. At this point, please bring all of them out. All through this impartation, everybody that comes under the power of God, bring them out to the front here. Lift your hands. Father, in the name of Jesus, the Lord is showing me 14 to 21 people with an unusual prophetic anointing. Father, at the count of three, anyone here called as a prophet, as a prophetess, anyone here that carries a prophetic spirit, anyone here that you have designed to carry that unction, that grace, at the count of three, wherever they are, let your power rest upon them. Let this be a new season for them to operate another measure of that anointing. At the count of three, you shout Jesus and it will fall on them. 1, 2, 3, shout Jesus. Touch, touch, touch. Take that grace, that prophetic mantle, prophetic fire, rest upon you now. Rest upon you. Rest upon you by the hand of the Lord. That grace of revelation. That grace for insight. Like fire. Let it rest upon you. Makata kabalakos keteke. Emberekos katakaya. Eparudia seketelaba. I call you to that destiny. I call you forth. I call you forth. I call you forth. I provoke that fountain that is in you. That prophetic oil. That prophetic fountain. I stir it up right now. I stir it up by the Spirit. Hear me. The fire of God is still falling here. Please lift your hands. The Lord is telling me there are people with prophetic destinies. Unusual prophetic destinies. You know, because you see it in your dreams. Things that nobody has done before. Things that nobody has dared. Wherever you are, I stretch my hands to you. Let the fire of God find you now. Women of prophetic destinies. Where are they? Where are they? Where are they? Touch, 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 touch by the fire of the Holy Ghost. Take that grace now. The fire of your calling, the fire of your ordination, the power of your destiny release upon you. Bring them out. Bring them out. Ooh, ooh,
It's still falling. Fresh fire from above. It's still falling. All over this place. It's falling. It's falling. Akadolobosia. Hallelujah. Please give me your attention. You hear me? There is a set of people now that the hand of God is coming upon. They are not many. They are few. The Lord said it is time for women apostles. The Lord said it is time for women apostles. An apostle is a frontliner. An apostle is a groundbreaker. An apostle is one who dares the status quo. An apostle is a pace setter. Lift your hands everywhere. Where are they? Old and young. Married or single. Any woman here with an apostolic unction. Your destiny carries an apostolic unction. Either in the church or in the marketplace. Right now, the fire of God is coming on you. For your ordination. Let that fire fall on you now. Take that fire now. Fresh fire. Fresh fire. Upon you now. Upon you now. Upon you now. Akalama sukolomo. Analama yele kelema dalama. God is not done. Please close your eyes everywhere. I'm still seeing those women apostles. I'm still seeing them. God is still picking them. There's a fire coming on you now, wherever you are. It's time for your ordination. Your season to bring forth. Your season of manifestation. To rise to where God has placed you. Let that fire fall. 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 Hallelujah. I see the Lord putting crowns on some women here. Crowns. Crowns. Hallelujah. Please, those of you that are in the career space, career, either in the corporate sector, private sector, career, just lift your two hands. There is a number of people here that God wants to anoint and give you a grace for government, a grace for leadership, and a grace for government. Please lift your hands. All of you who are into career, lift your hands. Father, let that mantle rest upon them right now. All across this room, from the left to the right, outside and inside. Lift your hands. That crown is coming on you. It's a mantle that is coming like a crown. The gift of government, the wisdom for leadership, the wisdom that makes you outstanding in the career space. Receive it right now. It's coming like a crown. The angel of the Lord is putting it on you right now. Receive it 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 now. Now, now, now. Now, 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 now. You will be outstanding. Help that lady there. Help them at the back there. You will be outstanding. You will be outstanding. Blessed are you amongst many men. Blessed are you amongst many men. Blessed. Hey, kaposkete. Rando kopete kateta. Empuriate keta. It is coming with promotion. It is coming with promotion. It is our God, my God, my God, my God. Something is happening here. Something is happening here. It is coming with promotion. For all you have done for us,
Hallelujah, we are grateful. Oh,
wave your hands and give Jesus praise. Alama sukotoya, balama nalema sude. In Jesus' name. Now please, silence everywhere. No keyboard. I'll tell you when to come on. Please, can you just put your right hand on your chest and close your eyes? I want to do one last impartation quickly, and there are many at once. Tonight is the last night, so don't be in a hurry to leave. This is the empowerment that sets you apart. This is the empowerment that makes you outstanding, that lifts you. This is the empowerment that compresses time for you. Please close your eyes and put your right hand on your chest. The Lord told me that ministries will be bettered. There are some of you called into prayer ministries, prophetic ministries, evangelistic ministries. There are some of you, God has been putting a burden on your heart to start something online. There are some of you that are lady evangelists, but God is saying do a podcast. That podcast is a modern style of evangelism. Right now, eyes closed everywhere. Where are those people? Let that mantle for ministries rest upon them. Evangelistic ministries, prayer ministries, rest upon them right now. That podcast that God is saying start, you will start it now. That platform, that prayer platform, the unction to begin is released upon you. In the name of Jesus. Number two, the Lord said there will be birthing of career and professions. And I've already prayed that. Now, anyone is into any career, the anointing for exploits comes upon you in the name of Jesus. The wisdom and the anointing for exploit comes upon you right now. I declare your promotion now. And I declare that it comes with increase. I say it comes with increase. It comes with increase. In the name of Jesus Christ. Finally, there are some of you whose destinies will require that you relocate abroad. Father, let your hand rest upon those ones wherever they are. The power of God that will come on you now will open the door at God's timing. Anyone whose destiny is beyond the shores of their nation, God is sending you forth as a Joseph. Right now, take that grace. It's a divine mantle. Touch! It's coming on you right now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord says business empires will be birthed. Please lift your hands. Anyone here calling to business, the wisdom and the mentality for an empire, for a conglomerate, to build something that is a global brand. As your hands are lifted, that anointing rests upon you right now. I said it rests upon you right now. You will not just establish a business, you will build an empire. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Wave your hands and give Jesus praise. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. I stretch my hands over you and I bless you. I declare that the path ahead of you will shine brighter and brighter. The favor of God is upon you this season. God is sending helpers into your life. The strength to arise and begin to do that which God has called you to do comes upon you in the name of Jesus. The bravery and the courage to step out when God speaks to you comes upon you in the name of Jesus. God make you outstanding and make you great in the name of Jesus. Let that which God has put in your spirit come alive in the name of Jesus Christ. And finally, I pray for your spiritual life. The most importantly, as you walk out of this place, you begin to experience intimate fellowship with the Holy Spirit. I see 9 people. The fragrance of the Holy Ghost is coming on 9 people here. You are going to have an unusual walk with the Lord. Right now. 9 of them. I'm seeing about 9 of them. You will hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. You will walk with Him in intimacy. Receive that unction. Receive that unction. 9 is the number of the Spirit. 9 gifts, 9 fruit. Receive that unction. It says the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship. Take it right now. Your life will never be the same. Thank you, Father. I release upon you the grace for discipline. The grace for discipline. The grace for discipline and seriousness for your destiny. The discipline required for your productivity. I release that grace upon you right now. I bind every idle spirit in your life. I declare from today you will no longer be idle. Hear me, those of you trusting God for a job. Before 1st of November, let that door that has long been closed open now. Open now. Open now. In the name of Jesus Christ. It is well with you. You go from glory to glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. What a night. Clap your hands for Jesus. What a night. What a night. Hallelujah. What a night. What a night. Please let me make an altar call before we go tonight. And please do me the favor. I know we've been standing for a while. Can you just stand for 2 more minutes? I want to make an altar call tonight. If you are here before this conference comes to an end, you want Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. Or maybe you are not serious with God. You are born again, but you are not really serious with God. This is a night for you to rededicate your life afresh. Forget about who is looking at you. It's a surrender to the Lord Jesus to help you so that you can know Him and fulfill His call and destiny for your life. There are things you are struggling with, you want to break free from. I will count to 10 as we are all standing. You want to surrender to Jesus either for the first time or rededicate your life. Wherever you are, meet me at the front right now. Create a special place for them to stand. I'm going to count to 10. Maybe you escaped it on Friday, on Saturday. Now Jesus is giving you one more opportunity. Please don't be shy. Say yes to Him. 1. 2. You want to rededicate your life afresh. You want to be serious with Him. Please come to the front quickly. 3. 4, I'm waiting for you, young or old, man or woman, boy or girl. It's a call to salvation for everyone. 5, come, Jesus loves you, come. Forget about your past. Forget about what you are struggling with. He wants to receive you. 6, 7, I'm still waiting for 2 more people. 8, forget about how old you are. It's not too late to run to Him. He wants to restore your life and restore you. 9. Hallelujah. Please stretch your hands towards these ones and pray for them. Those of you in front, please put your right hand on your chest and say this prayer out loud with me. Repeat it with me and mean it from the depth of your heart. Say, Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I receive you into my heart. Thank you for dying for my sins. I confess you as my Lord and Savior.
in Jesus' name. Now lift up your right hand as a sign of surrender to Jesus with your eyes closed. Father, we declare that their sins are forgiven by the authority of your word and washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. We declare that they are new creatures in Christ Jesus. Forward ever for them and backward never. They will live a victorious life above sin, Satan, death, hell and the grave. They will serve you all their days. I declare that the power of witchcraft is broken. The powers of their foundations are broken. Every force of limitation around their life is broken tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you. You are born again and now sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Look at me, all of you in front. This is a noble decision you made. You are now redeemed of the Lord. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And the Spirit of God now dwells with you. We want to help you grow and fulfill your divine calling and purpose in God. This is what you do for me. Please come back for service next week again, okay? And then number two, I'll hand you over to our counselors. They will talk to you, pray with you, and then help you to attend next Sunday service so you can hear the word and keep growing from grace to grace. In Jesus' name we pray. God bless you. Where are the counselors? How are they going? Okay, please turn to your right and just walk. Excuse me, in a single file. God bless you. Clap for them as they go.
If you've been blessed or inspired by this message, you can connect with us by liking our Facebook page and subscribing to our YouTube channel at Sons of Glory Network International.